everyone.
Hi.
We'll wait for this to load. It's loading right now. Hello, everyone. I'm going to wait for everybody to join in. How has everybody been? It's been a while since I've been on. I know that. This is Soul Essentials Healing Hour, and I wanted to come on and talk about a couple things for healing. So you can join if you catch this video, and you can let me know what you would like to talk about. I'm trying to find the share button so I can share and let you guys know that I'm on. But one of the things that I've been noticing lately is listening. Listening has been a big topic that I've noticed. So it's been the theme for the day. Remember I said that usually I'll find that there's like a theme that's going on, something that keeps coming up over and over as I'm working with people, working with clients. And this is one of the things that's coming up. So when it comes to listening in relationships, it's one of the bigger issues, is people not actually listening. So this is not just like relationships like with husband, wife, partners. It's also for like with kids, it's for business relationships, it's just for really everyday occurrences, everyday occurrences in the store, online, talking to people. Listening skills are really, really important and learning to actually hear what the other person is saying. So a lot of times, like when I'm working with couples or trying to fix relationships, one of the first things that I will assign for people to do is to actually start listening. So you hear the words that the other person is saying. You actually listen to the actual words, and then you take a moment, you take a breath, and instead of just hurrying up and responding, you parrot back what the other person has said. So they say something and then you're like, okay, so you mean this? You want to kind of clarify what they're saying. That is probably the number one issue that I find in relationships as to why relationships break down, is they're not listening. But this is a listening skill, so we're going to start with the relationship part of listening and in your everyday life. But then I'm going to move it to, as I usually do, to the spiritual element, right? So first of all, in your relationships with your partners, with your husband, with your wife, with your kids, with your coworkers, if you want the relationship to improve and the tension to leave, one of the first things to do is to actually listen to the person and listen to the words. Listen to what they are saying. Then parrot back what they're saying. Or you can take like the main point of what they're saying and reiterate it. So in order to do this, you can't be in your mind thinking about how you're going to answer. Because if you're thinking about how you're going to answer, you're not actually listening. You can't actually hear what they're saying because you're busy worrying about your answer. And you can't be in ego, because if you're in ego, then you're too worried about, if they're going to say something that's going to upset you, or if they're going to say something that belittles you. So you have to actually be in the present moment, here right now, listening to what the person's actually saying. The other thing is, especially in relationships, And this can happen between moms and sons, moms and daughters, dads and daughters. It can happen in any relationship, partnerships, where it's like, you know, you can be fine with everybody else, but with this one person, they just like push all your buttons and you just get upset. You know, any time that they talk. Sometimes it's before they even speak, right? Before they even say anything, you're already on edge and you're already upset because you have a bunch of buttons that they can push. So I find that that's something that's true in a lot of relationships. But if you practice this skill of actually trying to listen to the person, trying to hear what they're saying and kind of sum up what they're saying, and you remove that ego part, so you take the personal out of it, you just kind of listen to what, that's their point of view. Now, whether it's right or it's wrong, it's still their point of view. And now you can argue that point of view. You cannot agree with that point of view. But this is where we want to take it a little bit deeper. So when you talk to your friend, right? Your friend, I have this, like, my hair is going nuts because the weather's warming up. You talk to your friend, and when you're talking to your friend, it's kind of like a judgment-free zone, right? You can say whatever you want to your friend, and it's okay. But as soon as it's in these closer relationships, now it's not okay to say certain things, or it pushes your button, or it upsets you, or it upsets them, or, you know, anger starts to arise, your defense mechanisms start to arise, the ego wakes up. But with your friend, you can pretty much talk about anything. And they can say anything to you and you don't get upset, right? Your friend can tell you, yeah, your hair looks kind of bad, you know, like you should do something about that. You don't get upset. You're fine with it. But if your wife or your husband or your kid or somebody says that to you, now your feelings are hurt, right? Because there's an underlining kind of trust and friendship with the friend. And we don't take things as personally. We know, so that is what we want to develop in our closer relationships, is this underlining element of trust, of openness, where anything can be said, anything, you know, we can talk on a deeper level without always getting upset. Our friend can have a different point of view of us. We can even say it's politics. We can have two different opinions. But we don't end up hating our friend. We don't end up not talking to our friend. We accept that they have a different point of view. We still love them. There's an unconditionalness, I don't think that's a word, to that relationship. And that's what we need to develop in our personal relationships, our closest relationships, is that unconditionalness. I'm making words up now. That we give to our friends. We allow our friends to have their space, to have their thoughts, their opinions, and we still love them. We still accept them. And we're not worried about them loving and accepting us because we already know that they do. That doesn't mean that, you know, some relationship couldn't break up at some point over certain beliefs or whatever, but for the most part. So the other part of this is, you know, what I find is, again, that people are too busy worrying about how they need to defend themselves. They're busy worrying about what they need to say while the other person's talking. So I was trying to see where the comments are, guys, because I noticed that there's a couple of you on here, so you can say hi. You can let me know what you do want to talk about, but I'm trying to figure out how do I find the comments. So when listening, I wonder if I go to dashboard, will that help me to see comments? We are not really listening because we're busy trying to answer. And if you're trying to answer, you can't be listening. So that's a big skill. But on the spiritual side, so not only do we do this in our relationships, we do this with our coworkers, we do this when we're dealing with somebody at the store, on the phone, instead of actually fully listening and be in our own space and in our own energy and our own presence, our own power, we are too busy chatting in our head, preparing and defending, instead of being in open space. And when the less that we take things personally, the less that we take on other people's emotional status, the less things bother us, right? But when we are talking to God or Spirit or Source, whoever yours is for you, and we also do the same thing. We're, you know, we may ask a question or say we're doing a prayer. And while we're doing that prayer, instead of being quiet and being present, we are busy thinking. We're thinking about what we want. We're thinking about how we want God to answer this prayer for us, how we want Source to answer this prayer, how we want it to play out, how we need it to play out. And we start adding in elements. We're not listening. We're not actually listening. So to truly, truly listen, you have to be able to accept the present moment. You have to be able to be in this space, in this now, right here. You have to be able to quiet down all the noise and all the chatter in the brain. So when we're doing that, what it's important to realize is not every thought that runs through your head is important. Yes, the thoughts are there, and yes, for some, there are more thoughts. For some, you know, some people have more thoughts than others. But just because you have a thought doesn't mean that it's actually important. That's probably one of the more important things to realize. So I can have a thought, but just because I have that thought doesn't mean I actually need to pay attention to it. I don't need to follow that trail. And I know that this sounds like it's easier said than done. It does take some practice. And there are some days where you may just not be able to shut that stream of thinking off. And that's okay. It's more important to practice this, practice being in the present moment, practice being in this space where you know that you're okay. Even if you don't like what's happening, you don't like what's going on, you don't like what the person's saying, you can still kind of be over here in your space and just have that faith, that knowing, like, this is going to work out. This is going to turn out however it needs to turn out. And I don't need to, so the more that we get emotionally involved, the bigger the response we're going to have, right? So the more emotions that we have in the game, the more upset we're going to be, right? So if we can go back into, I'm looking to see if I can see your guys' comments. If we can go back to presence power, if we can go back to that space where we know that we're okay, I'm looking to see if I can see comments for you guys to make sure I'm answering everything. When you go back to that space of presence power, that this moment, this very moment, right here, right now, and you know that in this very moment, I am okay. Everything is okay. I am still alive. I still have, you know, my home, my place to live. Perhaps I still have my family. In this present moment, I'm okay. Everything is okay. Stepping into that space, into that energy, that allows you to be present, that allows you to listen. When you're praying, if you're busy in your mind trying to work out how things are going to happen, you can't listen to be able to hear Source. And how do we actually hear Source, right? So for some, we do hear them. We hear the word come in. We hear the voice come in. We hear the message come in. For some of us, we actually, when we are listening which means we have to quiet the mind. We have to slow the thoughts down. It doesn't mean we have to completely stop the thoughts. It's really more about not following the thoughts than stopping the thoughts. Trying to stop all thoughts is hard, and most people right there, they panic because they're like, I can't stop my thoughts. So I can't meditate, I can't pray, I can't do these things. You don't have to actually stop all thoughts. We just have to realize we don't have to follow them all. They're not all important, okay? And then when we are doing our meditation or we're doing our prayer or our mudras to God, to Source, then we need to be able to be in that space, in that present moment, not talking, not following thoughts, not trying to figure out how we're going to get to work tomorrow or what we're going to do with the kids. We do need to be in this space of quietness to be able to hear what Source is saying. And other people will, it'll be more of a feeling. So some people will hear it through words, and some people it will be more of a feeling. So do you remember in the Bible where we have all these stories in the Bible, and each one of them is kind of different? Like some of them said they heard the word of God. Some of them said that an angel appeared. Muhammad said that he had a dream. These are all ways that Source communicates, because everything is energy, so Source communicates energetically. That's actually what everything is. Sound is energy. Sound is vibration, which is energy. And so you can hear Source, you can feel Source. Some people just get a kind of sense of knowing of everything is going to be okay, everything's going to work out. But it's important to not do what we do in our relationships where we're talking to somebody or we're trying to have a conversation with our partner and we're not really listening, so we're making a lot of assumptions and we're trying to answer things in our head. Well, we do the same thing when we're trying to talk to God, when we're trying to talk to Source. We're trying to answer everything. We're not actually trying to listen. And the other thing is that usually if you are praying or you're meditating, and so you have a question. So let's say you want to know, okay, God, when will the money for this thing come? When will this relationship be healed? Mine is, when will my child be good? Like, when will that happen? If I start trying to think about all the ways that I need that to happen and all the things I need to happen and all the behaviors that, you know, would need to take place, I'm not able to listen. I'm not able to actually hear God or anybody else to give me the guidance, to give me the answer that I need. So I have to learn to be in the present moment. I have to learn to be quiet and actually take that space, take that time to listen before I try to answer, before I try to respond. So you're going to ask your question, and then what happens for most people is, if you got to kind of train yourself to do this, is you ask your question and then you just kind of be quiet and you just allow the question to flow to you. So learning like psychic ability, learning to listen to spirit, learning to listen to Source, to God, it's more of learning to listen to the flow. So you're quiet, you're in your space, you're in the present moment, you are calm, you're here right now. You ask your question, and then you just kind of wait and just let it flow down to you, right? So in a lot of us try to go up, and we have this idea that, you know, God is up, and I myself still have that idea where I'll, you know, look up, thank God, look, think, God up there. But we forget that actually a lot of God, a lot is within us. It's within us. We have God within us because we all are God. We are all part of that creator. We're all part of that source. So God is actually within us. And the biggest organ to hear that from is through the heart. So when I say allow the energy, allow the answer to flow, I'm saying that for it to download into you. So it's going to come down into you and through your heart space. So it's going to flow into your energy and the answer is going to come in. And then you will know, oh, okay. So if there was a situation going on, something was going to happen tomorrow, some sort of meeting or something was going to happen tomorrow, and I wanted to know how it was going to go. So I go into prayer meditation, and can I connect to God or to Source? And I say, okay, is the meeting going to go well tomorrow? And I just ask that, and then I wait. I pause. I don't add any commentary. I don't ask if anybody's going to show up. I don't ask if it's going to be long, if it's going to be short, who's going to say what. I just say, is it going to go well? And I just wait, and I clear that space, and I listen for the first answer I get. So that answer is going to be words, it's going to be a thought, it's going to be a feeling, it's going to be a sensation. I just listen for that first thing to come, and I hear the answer. The answer is yes, it will go well, right? So that's my answer. And then the key is to, just like if you're in a relationship, you don't argue with it. Okay, that meeting's going to go well. That's it. I don't argue with it. I don't say how, why, because, when, where, what. I just know that it's going to go well, and I have faith that it's going to work out. That's one of the keys. So this is the topic that I wanted to bring up with everybody because again, it is a topic that has been coming up over and over and over recently in the last few weeks. It's been coming up a lot about learning to listen and learning to pair it back with the other person is saying, to not be attached to what the other person is saying because they have their own opinion. They have their own perception of the world. Everybody's eyes give them their own perception of the world. We have this idea that the perception needs to be the same. It doesn't need to be the same. It's actually not meant to be the same. God did that on purpose so that we could have experience. If every one of us was exactly the same, identical, no difference, there would be nothing to learn and nothing to experience. Nothing. Zero. That's not what life here is about. Life here is about things being different, about people having different views. Now, it's nice if we all kind of have the same view, but it's actually not designed to be that way here. And it's okay, as long as, nobody's getting hurt or whatever. We're not asking about that, but it's okay for us to have different views. We can respect that. We don't always have to get along. So the other thing is that when you have buttons with somebody, when you have somebody in particular that you tend to, can't communicate with, you tend to not, usually it's because we have a lot of emotions involved. If we back up on the emotions, if you were to back up the emotions, take out the emotions, you would find you wouldn't get as upset. So the bigger the emotion, the more attached to the conversation you are, to the topic you are, the bigger the emotional response, the more upset you're going to be. Because if you didn't care about something or a topic, it just simply wouldn't bother you. The bigger the emotional response, it's because that's you're more attached to that, to whatever's going on, right? Things that you don't care about, they don't bother you, it's no big deal, you just move on, you just slough it up. But if you have an emotional tie to the topic, then you will be upset. You will. Learning to have that unconditional line in your relationships, your closest relationships, not just with your friend, but have that unconditional acceptance running through your relationship where the other person can have their opinion. You don't get upset about it, just like you do with your friend. You don't get upset when your friend has a different opinion of you. You don't get upset when your friend tells you your shirt doesn't look good on you. So you remove all of those emotional guards, those emotional defenses, right? And then when we're trying to communicate to our source, to our God, to our Creator, it's important for us to not add in all those comments as well. Not to add in all of the story and the expectations. To just ask your question, then to go into presence power, go into quietness, go into space, and listen for the answer. Just listen. And you will get the answer. Once you get the answer, we don't argue with the answer. We just have faith that this is what it is. So that's what I wanted to come on here and talk to you guys about today, is some listening skills. And I can tell you that that is probably the number one thing that I work on in relationships with people, is really learning to listen and to accept each other's opinions, and learn to work things out to say, how you're feeling. The other biggest thing I can tell you in relationships that I have seen like change your relationship overnight is gratitude. Practicing gratitude in relationships. So it is, you know, being thankful that they took the garbage out, being thankful for them bringing you your coffee, or you bringing them coffee. That gratitude is the other biggest thing that I find in relationships. Like, it, I have seen it turn relationships around like overnight. So practicing gratitude, just finding something to be thankful for the other person, anything that you can find. Those are the other things. So this is the topic for today, and you guys can let me know what else you want to talk about. Maybe I'll be able to jump on again sometime this week and answer some questions for you guys. I have figured out, I'm now at the point on YouTube that it's going to let me stream my YouTube to my Facebook. So I'm finally moving up in the world. I'm going to be able to do that with you guys. So I'll be able to be live on Facebook and live on YouTube at the same time. I'll be able to see you guys' comments and questions and all of that. So it's super exciting. Some of my drama in my house has calmed down. I have teenage girls, so it's always exciting. Hey, Darcy, long time. Yeah, that gratitude. So what I usually assign people to do, so the listening skills that I talked about are huge, but the gratitude, what I usually assign is that once a day, couples, now you can do it with your kid, you can do it with your friend, you can do it husband, wife, partner, once a day. So today is a world where, we have texting. So once a day you text your partner, your husband, your wife, one thing that you're grateful for of them. Just one thing. So it can be, thank you for, I'm so glad that you shut the alarm off this morning. It's real simple. It's not big. It doesn't have to be dramatic. It doesn't have to be this long, sappy text. Or you can do it in person. But the way that most of our lives are so busy, and, a lot of times we forget or whatever. So if you can do it in person, that's great. But if you, you could also just text just once a day, one thing that you're grateful that they've done. And like I said, I've seen that literally change relationships overnight. But it is a good practice to do for yourself. especially if you're really hard on yourself, it's a good practice to do before you go to bed, about to be grateful to yourself over the things that you did do today. Because a lot of times we look at the things we didn't do, the things we did not accomplish, and we forget to praise ourselves for the things we did do. So that's another, gratitude is something you can practice with yourself too. Thank you for getting up. Thank you for going to work. Thank you for doing this. Thank you for yourself. And then just learning also to be, you can do the gratitude with, like I said before, I've done it to where, like, I'm just thankful that I have a bed, because I could not have a bed, and that I have sheets, and that I have pillows, and I have floors, and just the basic things. That energy of gratitude, what it does is it tells the universe, one, that you do appreciate what you have, and that, you know, you enjoy what you have, you appreciate what you have, and that actually, like, opens the door for more to come to you. It opens the flow. So it is something. Nice. So you guys do the gratitude text, and we, nice, and tell Source what we're thankful for. Yeah. So it tells, you know, the universe that you are grateful, you do notice, and that gratitude creates that flow. It opens that flow to receive more and more, to bring more to you. So it's also like you realize everything that you do have, and that puts that positive energy out. So we're thinking in abundance instead of lack. When we're thinking in, I read a post, I don't remember where it was, and the person was right. It was one of these spiritual healing posts, and they said, stop complaining about the high gas prices, because you're creating a paradigm of lack, of struggle, by doing that. And they were so right. That's actually not the right way to do it. We are all doing it. We're all upset about it. We all want it to stop. We all want help. But the act of complaining about it is actually energetically the wrong way to go about it. It is. So when you practice gratitude, you're practicing the energy of abundance. That's what's getting sent out into the universe. And then therefore, that's what will come back to you. Does that make sense? I think it's hard for us to do, though, because, you know, we all are so upset about the gas prices and everything, and we do want something to be done, but they say that that's the wrong way to do it. It really is. What else do you want to talk about tonight? Anything else? I just wanted to jump on really quick because I haven't been here, and I've been busy and struggling and dealing with life. See, just because you're a spiritual teacher doesn't mean that you don't get to have struggles in life, right? Mostly because I have teenage daughters. That's mostly what it is. Life happens to every one of us. We never get to get out of life. Life will always go up, it will always go down. So it's not about life going up and down. Like, that is what the Chinese, what they mean with their thing with chaos, where chaos is an opportunity for growth. So life will always go up and down, but it's about learning when it does go down to see it not so much as a tragedy as it is an opportunity for growth, an opportunity for change. Most of the time when we deal with something and we come out of it, we will be stronger. Especially if you're on this spiritual path, usually. And if you just have any sense of wanting to be better on the personal development, it's not that tragedy is fun, it's not that we like it, but it does usually make us stronger. So when hard times hit, when chaos hits, it's more about learning that you will be okay. And the more that you do that, the more that you walk on this path, the faster you will come out of the chaos, the faster you will come out of the times that are hard. So it's not that you will never have a hard time in life, but their duration will be much shorter and less intense. Yeah, so you've been busy working, coping, changes. So when it comes to, again, so life is energy. Everything is energy. And energy needs to flow. We like to take energy and kind of trap it in a little box and keep everything the same, but that's literally not how life works. Life is meant to change. It's meant to go up. It's meant to go down. It's meant to move, because energy likes to move. It doesn't like to be still. And when you realize that life will never just be the same even keel 100% of the time, when you really accept that, then you accept that, okay, life is going to have ups and downs. I'm going to go through things. That's normal. It's not that the world's after me. It's not that things are after me. The universe is after me. God's paying me back. Oh, that's my karma. It's not any of that. It's just simply life. Now, do we make decisions? And based off of our decisions, there's some like karma per se? Yes. So if I make a bad choice, then yeah, there's some like kind of karma, right? It's like somebody who chooses to drink and drive. You choose to drink and drive, you get caught drinking and driving, and then, you know, you have to go to court, you have to do all these things. That's the karma for choosing to drink and drive. But overall, life is change. Life will go up, life will go down. And when things are hard, it's more about reminding yourself that this will calm down, that this will change, because energy does this, life does this. It goes up, it goes down. It's a constant flow. It doesn't stop. So when you're in the hard times, the more you can say, okay, it's okay, life's not coming after me, it's just, this is what it is, I'm going to be fine, I'm going to make it through. Again, listening to yourself, listening to your inner guidance system on what you should do, choices you should make, how you're feeling, does, you know, it feel right, does it feel off, that's really important. So again, if you want to know if you should do something in life, if you should make a decision, you ask God the question. You step into that present power, that space, and you just listen. You just be quiet and you just listen for the answer. You let it come down into you, and it's the first answer that you get. And you don't argue with that answer. So that's one way to help you make decisions, to see if this is the best thing for you. Knowing that things will calm down. And then when you are making a change and you've made a change and you're having to adjust, besides just saying, I always end up yawning at this time. So besides just saying, okay, this is part of life, I will be okay. So you have this faith that you know that this may be difficult, but it's going to lift, it's going to change, it's going to move. Also, allowing yourself that space. It takes time to adjust. So knowing that you will adjust, you will get used to it. So it makes me think of like when we first had like the lockdowns and we all were all of a sudden working from home or not working. And, you know, that actually took a minute to really adjust to that. That took a minute to get used to it. And I just started to think about that and all that we went through and how long it took. You have to give yourself that grace period of adjustment. And it took a long time to actually adjust to that new way of life of not having to get up and you know, drive to the office every single day. It took time to adjust. So allowing yourself that space to adjust, that space to get used to the new lifestyle. Now, the less free time, that one, you have to decide how important that free time is to you. If free time is something that really keeps you well, that keeps you balanced, then you might want to look at, you know, should you actually have less free time? Now, you know, there are times in life where perhaps we work more because we need to, and do most of us work more? And then, you know, when we get older, of course, we don't have to work as much. Yes. But you really want to look at overall what that will mean for you, like physical health-wise and mental health-wise. Will you be able to handle the less free time? So, knowing that all things have a purpose, all things work out in the end, those are probably the two most important skills. The self-talk that you do. And working, Darcy? Are you working too? I mean, puppies are great. They're a lot of work. They're great, but they're great. And starting college is awesome. Okay. So these are good. So these are changes where you want to ask, you know, can I do these? Is it good for me with like mental, physical health? You still want to ask those questions. And then you want to allow yourself the space to adapt. Give yourself the time to adjust, to set up a new program, to set up a new schedule, a new way of being. Yeah, it's good. And college was always like nerve-wracking for me. I know the beginning of every semester I ever took was always nerve-wracking. I would always freak out at the beginning of every semester when I would get the syllabus and I would have to see all the things I would have to do, all the tests, all the papers. Oh my God, like I'd just freak out. And so what I would do then is I would look at the syllabus and I would decide, okay, what can I do ahead of time? And a lot of times they have like discussion boards and things like that. So I would go and I would look up like all the discussion board questions and I would pre-answer them all and just save them on my computer. And then when it came time for that discussion, I would reread what I wrote to edit it, because then that's when I would be able to find the errors, because I'm one of those people that I read what I think it says, not what it really says. And then the discussion boards were done. So it was, I would just sit down like one Saturday and do all the discussion boards. So that's done. It's out of the way. That's one of the ways that I would cope with it. But it sounds like we need to just know that, one, you're going to handle it. Two, this is what life does. It gets busy, it slows down, has chaos, you know, ups and downs. And then give yourself time to adjust to the new schedule. That's what I would do. So, any other questions before I jump off here and go do some dishes, things like that. Any other questions? Congratulations on everything, though. I'm sure that you'll do fine. Yeah, you're welcome. All right, so I'm going to jump off and move on to my next task of the night. So thank you for everybody that was here and showed up and asked questions. And if you have more questions, please, please ask them. And I'll be happy to jump on and do a live. We'll talk to you guys soon.